Hi, my name is Hannah Lynn Miller, and I'm obsessed with three things: fashion, therapy, and theology. And even though they may not seem to connect, this podcast is all about how those three things really do. Not only do they intersect, but you'll find that they are tools for helping you navigate hard things like the question of who am I, what is my purpose, and how do I change my life narrative? I have around 8 years of radio broadcasting experience, and I recently quit my Chicago radio job to start a media marketing business and finish my clinical mental health counseling degree. I live on the west side of Chicago with my cat, Karen, and my handsome pastor man husband, John Miller. We are going to get real, hang out, laugh, and talk about knowing and owning who you are created to be. Think of this as a place where you can chat about your favorite fashion trends and then ask hard questions about mental health, relationships, and your faith. So basically, we're going to cover all the things. Most importantly, that your identity is covered in what Jesus did on the cross for you.
What did I do wrong?
You're wearing a t-shirt. This is a video podcast.
You know who James Dean is?
Yes.
You wore the shirt all the time, and he was like smoker and like sexy man. So I'm just looking like James Dean.
So you have this tour mug, and when we watch the movie, because we what's the movie called? I always forget the title.
The one that we just watched?
Yeah, last
night. Oh, yeah, because we're recording this before it's going to be aired.
Yes.
So for y'all, when you actually hear this thing, it's going to be way later on. But it just came out, and it's Thor, the new Thor God and Thunder movie.
Yes.
So or we watched Love and that. Thunder. Love and
yes,
Thunder.
Yes, we watched it last night, and there's a point in the movie where Thor comes out, and I don't know, he's talking to the Natalie Portman character.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like a mug. Why is your mug all the way over there?
I'm going to model the mug now.
Do you want me to keep my cup all the way over here?
I'm just deciding if I need to put any more seltzer in it.
Okay. Well, so, but there's a point in the movie where he comes out and he literally has the same exact mug. But you should probably show them, like, because it's, what is it made out of? It's made out of, like, bison horn?
I think so. It was, like, the outer layer is supposed to be bison thorn. And I put in the
dishwasher.
Dishwasher and it cracked.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a gift for my brother for being at his wedding.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool...
A groomsman gift.
I know, and it just looks so legit.
And you thought it was funny because Thor had one in the movie that looked just like it.
I know. It was... I don't know. It was cool. I really liked that movie. I liked it. Probably because it has more of like a love story because it's...
Yeah, it was... It Thor. Just, I didn't think it was that creatively written. I mean...
Uh-huh.
I guess I don't want to do any spoilers here, but I guess
yeah,
it's going to be August.
Spoiler.
It's going to be August, and you watch it by then. The plot's just not that good.
Okay.
The plot wasn't that good.
I thought it was really cute. I thought it was fun.
The movie was not bad. I was entertained.
Mm-hmm.
There was some fun parts. There were some good characters.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I thought the writing was a little lazy.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
I liked it because I felt like the Natalie Portman character reminded me of me.
You just and like Natalie
Thor.
Portman.
I like Natalie Portman a lot.
Do I
as
remind
an actress.
You of Thor?
Yes, 100%. The hair, just all the things, I feel like. It just you just remind me of him.
Okay, well. I don't have a hammer.
No, we gotta get you one. You have the mug. Now we just need to get
that
you.
That was so funny. Okay. Is this what you want to talk about? Is this what you had me on? I'm sorry. Is this why I had you on since I'm the host?
No, I wanted to talk about since this is going to be airing in September, which is our wedding anniversary is in September, and this will be airing. And so if you're listening right now, the next day is our wedding anniversary. So I wanted to kind of talk about a few things. That's gonna be like memory lane ish for us. And what are you gonna say?
So this is September 21st.
Yes.
Okay. It's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
I know that because I looked up our anniversary.
Oh.
We're making plans.
Yeah. Do you know what we're doing on our anniversary?
Yep.
Do I know what I'm doing on my anniversary?
Yep. Remember, we're going to celebrate the weekend before, maybe, because I'm going to be gone the weekend of our anniversary this year.
Yes, that's true. Because compromise.
You scheduled our wedding.
Yes.
We could talk about that, too, how yes. that was the first, like, scheduling mishap we've had. But I was, you could tell that story because you thought I handled it well.
You did. So what happened was, John didn't tell me that disc golf was such a big deal in his life. I didn't really go with him.
That's not what happened, but keep going. It's not disc golf. It was a particular weekend of
disc golf. Well, I know, but disc golf is you really enjoy it and you do a lot more of disc golf today, like now.
Yeah, it's one of my hobbies.
But when we were dating, you didn't do as much. And so, because we didn't live in the same state for a while.
Yeah,
too.
It's not that I wasn't I was disc golfing all the time. You just weren't around.
Yeah, and I wasn't around. So I didn't really even realize that you liked disc golf that much. But then I also, you said something about like Disc of Fury. And you threw that out. And I was like, okay, I have no idea what that is. Sure, whatever. So I remember you mentioning it.
Yeah, that's right. Because you were like, John, what about this date? And I said,
Disc
of Fury is that weekend, but it's going to be fine. There's no perfect date for a wedding. You're never going to plan
it. You're never going to please everyone. But I thought it was really sweet because this is something that John has done every single year with, like, I don't know, mentors from high school.
Kind of. Like, yeah. So it's like they're all about 6 to 12, 15 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a group of friends from my high school that were like adult leaders in my youth group.
Yeah.
A couple of them that I knew. And then it started as like a bachelor party when they were like 18.
Wow.
And they go camping, disc golfing every year. So this is like they're getting up to like the 20th year.
Wow. Before too long. And then they just let you come with
them. They invited me back when I was like, I'm still like the youngest member of the group. But they invited me when I was like 18 or 19, and I've been going ever since. So the first time I missed it in 6 years was our wedding.
And if I would have known that, I think I would have changed the date. And I'm glad I didn't, but I just, you didn't make it a big deal, which I really appreciate looking back because I think you handled it really well. Because now going forward, like, I want you to still prioritize that time with the group of guys because I really like that group of guys. And I think they're awesome and that they've really poured into you. But now, like, looking back, I'm like, okay, he has always prioritized me first, you know, because you didn't make that one time a big deal.
Yeah, that's fair.
But the issue is...
I just was ready to get married.
Yeah, well, that's cute. The issue is, though, that weekend still is the same weekend.
The issue is every year now we have to try to coordinate our anniversary with that.
With the Disc of Fury.
The good news is it changes because we always do the last weekend of September. And it changes now because after this year, the last weekend of September is the 22nd.
Okay.
So I think we won't have an issue for like another 8 years.
Okay. Because
the calendar always moves one day.
Be on the day of our anniversary, which is nice.
But this year it's not a huge deal because it's not on the day, but it's still the day before I leave, so.
Yeah, yeah. So that was like our first big, I think for John, like big compromise of not making something a big deal that kind of was.
Yeah, no, and then all the guys that were good friends of mine, who like you were like, we should invite to the wedding.
Yeah.
I was like, we're not inviting those guys to the wedding. Because I knew their wives would make them feel bad if they didn't go, then they'd have to miss out.
So you didn't even tell them about the wedding.
On purpose. I didn't invite them. I told them they're not invited. I just
didn't know any of this stuff because...
I got you guys. Don't do that. Like, I wasn't going to mess up Disc of Fury because of going to a wedding. Not that that's not important to them, but...
They would have made it a priority, I think.
No.
Okay.
No, they
because
wouldn't have.
Because Disc of Fury had to happen.
Yes. Plan it a year ahead of time, and it's a big deal. And they're all coordinating with their families and wives.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
We're talking 15 to 20 guys. Yeah. This isn't just a...
No, this is a big group.
This takes preparation and planning.
Yeah, and consistency, I think, too. I think it probably helps that it's on the same weekend in September.
Yeah. But anyway, they were upset that they couldn't go to the wedding, but they knew where their priorities were at, and it's more important.
And the reason why I'm talking about this is because, you know, it's the week of our anniversary, and I just think it's fun to go down memory lane and kind of tell some, like, behind-the-scenes stories of our marriage that started with a wedding. And we like to always talk about how we made it happen in, like, a short amount of time, and to focus on the marriage, not necessarily the wedding. But the wedding is important as well.
What are you laughing about? You're just afraid what I'm going
to
say.
Yes, I'm waiting for you to say something. What are you going to say?
Weddings aren't that important.
So how would you recommend somebody like who is newly married, maybe guy or girl, whatever, and what do you think is priority for a wedding? Let's talk about wedding first.
Oh, for a wedding?
Yeah.
Whatever the bride says, if it's within the budget, goes.
Yeah.
I was pretty good at that. I was like, it's your wedding. Like, I'm here to help. You let me know what I can do. And I planned the whole thing.
No, you didn't.
I planned the whole wedding. I planned the whole wedding. You it was it. A lot of work. The swans would not cooperate.
Didn't do anything. Let's just say that. So John, like, he basically started dating me. And then, like, 2 months later... 2 or 3 months later, he's like, let's get married. And I'm like, sure, when do you want to get married? And then he said September of the same year. And it was like, and then, and you were going to go back to Indiana to work, and which actually helped us out so much financially. But that was kind of the time frame that we had working for us. It was date.
Well, I had no place to stay
and
either.
And you had no place to stay. Like, we were very much convicted. Like, no living together. That was not on the cards at all. We were very much against that.
That was your conviction. I'm joking.
You're pastor.
That was your conviction. I just...
Get out of here. That's not even true.
Yeah, I went back to work, and that was the plan, but I didn't really communicate that. And you were like, wait, you're leaving me this summer?
Yes.
Like, just for the summer.
Yeah. But in my mind, I thought you were breaking up with me. I was like, okay, he's going to move to Indiana and forget about me and everything. That was probably my own insecurity.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but in your mind, the whole time was you were trying to pay for this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, what else... What else do you think is, like, a priority, like, for a wedding?
I don't think there's any more priorities to a wedding.
Okay. So the ceremony, you don't care about, like...
No, I think premarital counsel is important. I think having a ceremony that honors the Lord and is not too fluffy-duffy... is important. And I hate, okay, this is this background here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I hate when ceremonies are so, like, fluffy and the vows are, like, things that you know that nobody's actually going to be able to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cheesy and dumb. I was very adamant that ours would not be that way. So I wanted the ceremony to have meaning. I wanted to say things that only I could actually follow through with in my vows.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted the ceremony to honor the Lord and have a gospel message to it as well.
Yeah.
So I guess I do care about the wedding. I just was more concerned about preparing for marriage and the long haul of marriage than just one day.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause it is. It's only one day. And I think... Like, I just did a wedding I was doing video for, and I was talking with the photographers, and we were talking about how some weddings can be up to 12 hours, and then some weddings, like the one we were at, was 7 hours long. Like, that is a long time, but in the grand scheme of things, it goes so fast, and that's not a full 24-hour day. Like, that's just, like, you know, that's 7 hours of your life where... You could have, you know, 70 years with that person and mm-hmm. really making ideally. Sure. Yeah, ideally. And making sure that you're prepared and you know, like, how to work, how to argue well, how to, you know, merge your finances together and stuff like that. Those are the things that I think really matter. Making sure that you're on board theologically. That was really important to you.
Yeah.
Me too. But I think... I think because you're planning on being a pastor, it was pretty important to you.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you say, preparing for marriage is more important than just preparing for the one day of a wedding.
Yes.
100%. And that seems common sense, but I think it's easy to forget when you are planning a wedding because there's so much expectations that we have for ourselves and people have.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
And I think too, like I think sometimes planning for a wedding can become way more complicated and way more messy because you have to plan it 2 years in advance now. Like, think about that. Like, we only planned it for 3 months, and it was, like, not enough time for family members to get involved. It wasn't enough time. Like, I remember my mom, like, it was, like, the last month, and then she had all of these things that she, like, wanted in the ceremony. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, we can honor that. But it was like, okay, no more because the wedding is next week. So it wasn't enough time, I think, for people's opinions to really be thought out and, like, processed. So I think it made it easier.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a two-year-long process. But it also helped that, you know, we had a venue.
That helps a lot. Yeah. So I understand if people need to get their venue booked.
Yeah, because that's a whole thing.
But if you have your own venue, there's no reason, in my opinion, to have a wedding that's longer, engagement longer than, like, 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, I would agree. I just think it's just way better all the way around.
But that's just our opinion.
That's our opinion. People do it differently, especially if you have to. I mean, I know a lot of people their weddings were prolonged because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And even now, like, you can barely get a venue all the prices are way expensive, too.
Yeah.
So if you can find someone's backyard.
Supply and demand.
Just get married in the backyard.
I have a good price if you want to do it in our apartment. Like, just let me know.
Would you officiate?
It's free. I'll officiate. Just pay me to officiate, and the payment's just a large portion, like large order of Chinese food.
I could do the videography. I could do the camera stuff, photography. Why are you doing that?
Well, my nose got itchy.
Stop rubbing your nose on my microphone.
Sorry. Anyway, apartment could be a nice little intimate
setting.
You don't want to do it here. Trust me.
You can invite 5 people. That's it. That's the max.
COVID rules.
Yeah.
I was going to tell them. You want to tell them about the keys to like what I did for the wedding?
You didn't do anything for the wedding.
I'm talking about like during the wedding, like right before the wedding. I went fishing 15 minutes before the...
You're just different. Like, I think weddings are just so much different for men and women. Like
didn't take me long to get ready.
It's very interesting. Or maybe every couple's different in this way because it takes women so... Like, the bride, it takes so much more work. You take your time. Like, I loved the time before my wedding. Like, all of my best friends were there. My sisters were there. It was so much fun. And then I was at a childhood, like... my parents' friend's house, and she was the one who, like, cooked for us in the morning, and it was just, like, a whole thing. But John's groomsmen, you guys all were in white suits because it was a white-out wedding, and you did so many things in those white suits before the ceremony that was just reckless, completely reckless.
Yeah, not reckless.
Okay, tell them what you did.
We went fishing in the pond. And then we went to McDonald's literally like 5 minutes before the wedding in our white suits. And all the people working there were like, can we get a picture with you? This is so cool. I'm like, yeah, sure. Take a picture. They thought it was so cool that we went to McDonald's
right before.
McDonald's? Yeah, it was good.
All the workers.
I ate a McChicken right before I got married.
You couldn't do that like before you were in the suit?
No, it was not time. We wanted to be efficient. Efficiency, efficiency, efficiency. And then we went fishing because, like, the wedding was, like, right in front of your parents' pond at the time. Mm-hmm. So literally until, like, the pastor and photographer was like, you need to stop fishing because the wedding's starting in, like, 5 minutes. I was out there fishing. It was fun. Caught some bass.
And then what happened with one of the groomsmen?
Yeah, dropped their phone in the pond. And we were literally, like, reaching over trying to get their phone in white suits. We got pictures of it.
I don't know how you guys didn't get anything on those suits. father-in-law broke his arm right before the ceremony. My mother-in-law wasn't there. They were at the doctor's. I don't know how she got in and out of there so fast. He broke his arm.
He was in the wedding. They're like,
in the wedding.
She's like, you need to do a white cast
because it's so white. Everything is white. So I did hear about that, and I was like, oh, my Lanta, that's crazy. But yeah, it was like a beautiful day. It was so much fun. Yeah, I'm a lot more like, I wanted it to look a certain way. I was a lot more like planned out. I talked to the venue. I wanted pizza, wanted it in my parents' backyard. I wanted everyone to be wearing white, even Grandpa Miller in his white shorts.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize it was so hard for men to find white pants.
It's not easy.
Yeah, because that was the thing that we heard the most about. Yeah. The photos were beautiful.
Yeah. How did you prepare for marriage? The long haul marriage, specifically, that you would give as an advice for other people engaged now or looking to get engaged? What was very helpful for you? What did that process look like?
I think the biggest thing that I would always advise people is to have like people in your life to speak into your relationships. And I think that's really helpful even after you get married, just because people know you. And so marriage is really stressful, especially the first 2 years. And so surround yourself with people who like know you and know when you're stressed out and can tell when things are hard so that they can be a better support system for you. Like, I think that is a big thing, like pouring into relationships that are going to stick around and like support you in marriage, because the first 2 years are just really, really, really hard because you're learning how to live with someone for the first time. And it can be really, really difficult sometimes because you're like becoming one.
Yeah.
And so part of that is getting good marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of that is really surrounding yourself with family and friends who are going to support you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think premarital counseling is good too, just because it just helps with expectations of being able to have somebody to ask different questions, whatever those are, and a healthy way.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I think we had really good marriage.
We had good premarital counseling. Yeah, we had some good books, which is good.
Yeah, Lindsay and Luke did it from Renewal.
Great.
Church here in Chicago, and they were just really a blessing. And I knew Lindsay a little bit beforehand, so that was always helpful. Like, I had talked to her about, you know, things previously, and then like life things, and then being able to get pre-marriage counseling together was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke did a phenomenal job presenting the gospel message, which was like huge for us. Like, we just really wanted the whole thing to be centered around the gospel. And that's why I did a white out wedding, because I believe that everyone can be able to have a second chance through the gospel. And that's kind of what I wanted to communicate with the all white wedding.
So, mm-hmm. That's yeah. Good.
And that's how I use fashion too. It's like to tell a story. And I thought, why not do that for my wedding, is be able to use fashion and clothing to tell the story that I want to communicate the most with. Like, you know, you can have a second chance. You can have grace. Everyone gets that through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I think Luke did a great job. And the premier, like, what do you think was the most helpful thing about pre-marriage counseling, like, for you?
Just having a place that we could talk about, like having a party. I mean, it's kind of the same deal. I mean, it is premarital counseling. It's the same deal with benefit of counseling, right? Having somebody that's kind of not super, super close to you, but like is able to share wisdom and advice, but coming from like the outside. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like coming from the outside, yeah. And like a neutral, like, hey, like we're trying to help you, but yeah, we don't know you. Like, this is just general facts of mm-hmm. what could maybe help and good. Just good expectations, learning like what are our expectations of marriage,
mm-hmm.
and talking about those.
Yeah, and I think even, and I don't know, I think that this is a really good thing if you ever do pre-marriage counseling, if you are the one doing the pre-marriage counseling for a couple, like, you should talk about sex at some point. Like, I think that was really helpful for us, especially, you know, when you're a Christian couple and, you know, there's, this is all going to be new for you. And to talk through it and have like a space to ask questions that maybe isn't your family member or isn't somebody that you know, I think is so helpful. And we definitely had that opportunity. And I think that was really good. Even just talking about expectations for the, you know, the wedding night.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking up an article just because you reminded me of something that's good.
Oh, okay.
It was Gospel Coalition an article of like 5 expectations before you get married.
And oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
I thought that the article did a really good job of kind of summarizing what we liked about our marriage counseling.
I think even just like talking through the wedding night, like what happens after the wedding was really good for us too. And I would suggest that for anyone, any couple getting married, is like talk about what your expectations are after the wedding, and what's going to happen on the wedding night, because you both could be tired. You guys could be on different pages on what happens. And for some couples, this is all new, a new experience. So maybe you take your time with it. Like, I think those things are really good to just process together so that you're on the same page and so that one person isn't disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, that's really hard. That would be really hard, I think.
Yeah, just talking about expectations is always good.
Yeah, and especially too, like with the honeymoon and in the trip and stuff like that too. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. What else do you feel like was helpful for you pre-marriage counseling?
We read The Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller, and I think it's really good.
Oh, that was so good.
When and if, more like when, I do premarital counseling, I'm going to recommend that book for sure, because it's just a really good, talking about the whole analogy of marriage is all a picture, metaphor of the relationship. Well, there's so many metaphors with the marriage. Relationship between Christ and the church and loving your wife like Christ loved the church, but also just like the covenant of marriage. Like, no, this is not a choice. It is a choice, sorry. It's a choice of choosing that you're in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
So I think that's good. Like, it's okay to say, like, after this, there's no options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dating and engagement.
There's options.
You're free to go.
Yeah.
It could be 2 days before the wedding, one day before the wedding. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel good about it, get out of there. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, something.
They're good over it. That's fine.
Right.
But marriage, it's a little bit more serious when you're not in it for the long haul.
Totally. It's a covenant.
So,
a covenant relationship.
I think that was the biggest thing, just being able to have a place to talk about expectations, but like, okay, like, we are preparing for the long haul. We're not going to always get along. It's going to be difficult. But knowing beforehand that it's going to be hard, I think is good.
Yeah, you said that multiple times. Like, and it wasn't like I was scared or anything. It was just, or that you were or anything. It was just like preparing yourself. Like, it's going to be really hard, especially the first 2 years. But I do remember my friend, like right before the ceremony, or maybe it was the night before, she was like, hey, if you feel uneasy and if this isn't going to work, or if you just don't feel right about this marriage, like just tell me and I will handle like canceling the whole thing. And I've done that for a couple other of my girlfriends, just to tell, like, let them know that they're not alone if they have like weird feelings or if they are uneasy about getting married that day, just because it's such a big commitment. And sometimes you're not able to trust your gut until the very last second. And to know that, like, hey, you still have time and out. And I had absolutely no reservations when we got married, but I just think that that's always a really good thing to do if you have friends that are getting married right now.
Mm-hmm. It's a big decision. I mean, it's not the ultimate decision we make, but it's a pretty big one that impacts your life.
Next to deciding to follow Jesus, I think it's the second biggest decision
earthly,
in life.
Yeah, earthly decision we'll make.
Yeah.
It's definitely earthly. We won't be married in heaven. We probably won't even know or care to know each other. I don't know how that will work. Probably not, but that's a different conversation.
So yeah, it's our wedding week, and just wanted to make this podcast and like encourage you guys to invest in the marriage, not just invest in the wedding, because weddings can get so expensive, but try to do as much budget as you can. And I promise it will look beautiful. At the end of the day, you'll love it because it's your day. Like, you're not a big fan of weddings. But you, what did you say after our wedding?
I don't know. I think I said it was like my favorite wedding I've ever been to. But I'm obviously biased because it's my wedding.
I know, but some people don't love it.
It was a very nice wedding. I never really got to eat the pizza, though, because I was talking to everybody. And they're like, you never ate. And I was like, no. And then... yeah, we can't talk about that. I was going to say something about the wedding, but this is a thing. Like, don't hear me wrong. Yeah, the wedding planner. Don't.
Another story that you can ask us privately about.
This is a thing about weddings is like, yeah, we got pictures and we got a nice video. We always have that, but at the end of the day, it's like it just happens so quick. And not that you just want to get through it for the sake of getting through it, but like it's not that important. It is important, but it's also not that important. I shouldn't say the whole thing's important, but like the details don't need to happen the exact same way.
You have to get to a point, I think, where, and I found this out, like a point where you're like, okay, the details are not important, like it's, I'm done planning. Like I remember getting to that point where I'm like, I am literally done planning, and this it, the wedding's gonna happen whether I, you know, printed out the planner or what is it called the schedule or not.
Yeah, like,
you just get to that point,
you figure it out.
I do think it's really important to celebrate the wedding. Like, celebrate your two families coming together. Celebrate that God answered your prayer. You know, like, if you're praying for a spouse, like, celebrate. And that's the party. That's the point of having a wedding. It's to celebrate two lives coming together before God.
Hannah.
Yes, John.
Tell us about the cake that you made.
I tried. I just really wanted this cake. This is what happened. I was scrolling on Instagram, and I saw this beautiful cake, and I was like, I can make that.
I'm going to go make the cake. But tell about the first two attempts first.
I don't really want to talk about it. Okay, the first time I mixed up the sugar with the flour, and I actually put two types of sugar in the cake. So the cake was just sugar. That's all it was. There was no flour in it. And then the second, this is the third cake that I've tried.
So beautiful.
No, it's ugly. Yeah, you can try. Let's do it. It's so ugly. I was looking, I wanted to do like some detailing. It looks so bad. Sorry if you're watching or listening to this on a podcast, but you can check out the video on Instagram. And then you can also check it out on YouTube. But yeah, this cake is not good looking at all, and John's gonna get a fork so we can eat it. But yeah, so then the second time, I don't know what happened, but it turned out to be like flat. Maybe I just didn't put enough like cake in it. I have no idea what happened.
That's pretty nice. That's like a good sponge cake, I feel like.
That tastes weird though. Did we use the wrong flour? Right.
Do you think it was pancake mix? No, that tastes right.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah, the
texture. Why did you not bring out forks or anything? You're so funny.
I don't know. Yeah, the texture worked better than I thought it would.
Okay, so not the third cake isn't that bad.
Hmm.
But the second cake, I just don't think I put enough ingredients in.
Well, you didn't take enough time to stir everything up.
Yeah, you have to stir everything up. I didn't know 10 minutes actually meant 10 minutes.
Details matter when you're making a cake.
Oh my gosh. I'm so bad at this.
This is not bad. This is actually better than I thought it would be. This is it.
Happy 4-year anniversary, babe. Cheers.
Well, with that, we will end the podcast. And, nope, just a teaser. Mm-hmm. Hannah did agree that sometime, I don't know, we don't know when, but she agreed that sometime I'm a guest on this podcast that I will get to be the one that interviews her. So that will get real interesting.
Look out for that.
I'll be thinking the most crazy questions I can ask. So that would be very good.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
But we don't know the date of that yet.
No, we don't. It'll be sometime in the future. So keep listening to the You Are Covered podcast. See you in the next show.
Enjoy your cake and eat it too. Was that good?
Thanks for listening and watching. Can you make sure that you are subscribed so I can see you again? Make sure you're subscribed to the You Are Covered podcast wherever you're listening or watching this show, and take some time to review it on iTunes. This goes such a long way. I know it takes like a few seconds to get there, but it really, really matters, and I would so appreciate it. It goes a long way, and it helps us build a community here in the digital space. So thanks so much ahead of time. As always, know that Jesus got you, girl, and you are covered. Be blessed.